From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're delighted to have you listening today. In a moment, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns begins a message entitled Christ and His Sheep. The text is the entire 10th chapter of John's Gospel, the famous passage of the Good Shepherd. Here, as in all of the Gospel of John, Christ declares His deity. The reason that this Gospel has always been the particular target of liberal theologians and critics who would deny that Christ is the Son of God. Before the message, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, the axis of evil.
According to a British advocacy group, millions of people will be persecuted around the world in 2008, and it will take place in four zones: Islam, communism, Hinduism, and Buddhism. Harassment may originate from governments or their agents, such as the secret police, the military, the judiciary, or from non-governmental movements such as militant Islamic groups. Consider the following headlines for stories currently running. Seven churches bombed in Iraq. Christmas riots continue in Orissa, India. Muslim rioters destroy Christian stores in Egypt. China arrests 270 underground Protestant pastors. I've mentioned four zones of persecution. In the Islam zone, Saudi Arabia stands out not only for its extremely harsh laws against all religion other than the Wahhabi branch of Islam, but also because it spends millions each year disseminating Islamic teachings around the world. There are no greater hypocrites on earth than the Saudi royal family. I recently read a report of a female writer who described her interview with one of the Saudi rulers. They met in a large office with a huge glass wall. That was so that their meeting would be observable. The Muslim view is that where a male and female meet behind closed doors, Satan is the third member of the group. So they met in a room with a glass wall. But as soon as the interview was finished, the prince asked if his guest would like to meet some friends, and ushered her into a room where he and his colleagues watched filthy displays of sensuality and drank Johnny Walker whiskey at $130 a bottle. Of course, in Saudi Arabia, anybody else drinking alcohol anywhere else in the land would be severely punished. The way these hypocrites guard their tenuous hold on power is by underwriting radical Islam and by persecuting non-Muslims, especially Christians. This is the country that the United States has supported and upheld for years. We have treated the Saudis as friends, whereas they are more like enemies. They're certainly among the worst persecutors in the world. In India, radical Hindus have entered 2008 with the lust for Christian blood unabated. Burnings and intimidation have become regular, and more are expected. In communist regimes, such as China, Cuba, and North Korea, believers face a more systemic form of persecution that involves house arrest, interrogations, fines, and imprisonment. North Korea remains probably the world's worst persecutor of Christians. Believers are imprisoned in special labor camps, brutally tortured, and even publicly executed. Christians are forbidden to pray or to read a Bible, either publicly or at home, and are banned from evangelizing even their own children. This is the real axis of evil in the world.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Opening section of John chapter 10 follows immediately upon the miracle of the healing of the man who had been born blind. You will remember that the Pharisees found that man, questioned him, and because his testimony to Christ was so powerful and to them inexplicable, they excommunicated him from the synagogue. The Lord Jesus went out of his way to seek that man out, to search for him until he found him, and then revealed himself to him in a most marvelous way as the very Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, the Son of God. In other words, he received him and brought him, to use the language of John 10, in among his sheep. And it was that reception by Christ of this man excommunicated from Judaism by the pastors of the Jewish people that gave rise to the parable with which John 10 commences. The Lord Jesus here tells a very simple little story, one with which everybody among his hearers must have been familiar because it was a scene that they witnessed every morning in life. He tells the story of a sheepfold into which various flocks had been gathered. In the morning, the shepherd would come, and because he was the shepherd, he came openly to the one door of the sheepfold, which was an enclosure large enough to hold all the flocks of the area, guarded, we are told, by walls of stone some 10 or 12 feet high, with only one entrance guarded by a porter or an overnight watchman. When the shepherd would come to that door openly and honestly, because he was the shepherd, to him the porter would open the door. To another, he wouldn't. Another would have to seek entrance by climbing the walls, and by so doing would identify himself not as a true shepherd with the interests of the sheep at heart, but as a false shepherd, if shepherd at all. with his own interests at heart, who ultimately would do nothing but harm to the sheep. Now that was the story. It's called a parable in our authorized version. In actual fact, most works on the parables do not treat with this story, for the simple reason that it's a different word that's used. It's not so much a parable. Those of you who remember your English language training will remember there are figures of speech. One is called, well, there are many, but I'll take two. One is a simile. When I say, well, I have to be very nice here, my wife is like an angel, that's a simile. When I say my wife is an angel, that's a metaphor, for she's not literally an angel. A parable is an extended simile. The kingdom of God is like unto. The word here is literally the word proverb. And here it's an extended metaphor that the Lord Jesus is using. This parable, as it's translated, has been described as a cryptic saying. Or as a famous commentator put it, a mysterious saying full of compressed thought. Well, it's mysterious in a way. It certainly was mysterious to the Jewish people who heard it. Though when you look at it, you've got to wonder why it should be so mysterious. You see, the figure of the sheepfold was, as I've said, very well understood. They had often seen a shepherd lead his sheep into a sheepfold, and at times himself, if this were some fold that he was using for a brief time or a particular purpose, he would then count them in, number them in, select ones that needed comfort, help, healing, whatever, make sure their needs were tended, and then he himself would lie across the entrance to be, in a way, the door, the guard. They had seen that. They had seen the picture that Christ was here painting for them, where there were many flocks, and the shepherds, like the rest of us needing their sheep, would go home to sleep at night. And there was a watchman keeping his guard over them. They had seen all this. They had seen the shepherd come. They had heard about others climbing the walls to steal the sheep. They knew all about this. And yet when the Lord Jesus gave this parable, verse 6 tells us plainly, they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. I think they understood the story as it related to everyday life, but what it meant spiritually, they were blind to. They didn't grasp it. There's an old saying that there's none so blind as they who will not see. Those who do not want to see. And there are people here who are willfully blind. They've been rejecting, as the Lord Jesus later says, they've been rejecting the plain evidence of their eyes. Never in the history of the world had a man born blind been healed as the Lord Jesus healed the man that they knew. The evidence was before their eyes. They had listened to his words. Even the very enemies who came to arrest him had been forced to go away empty-handed, confessing, never man spake like this man. And yet they were still rejecting him, calling him a devil. They would not see, not because there was not plenty of evidence, but because they didn't want to see, and therefore they could not understand the meaning of this parable. What is more perplexing is that since then, many learned commentators and scholars seem to have had as much difficulty as the Jews. There's so much written in John chapter 10, and yet there are so many things that perplex. No doubt, as we have read it, if you have paid attention, there are some things in it that would perplex you too. I think the easiest way to grasp this is to understand that in these opening verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving what we continue to call a parable in general terms. And then he selects two elements in the parable. And going away beyond the initial story, he begins to expound those two elements as they give a picture of himself. And then 3 months later, when he comes back to Jerusalem and the place is still abuzz and agog with the miracle and with the message that he had preached following the miracle, he returns to this idea that he is raised in the parable of his sheep and speaks a little further of that with some profound statements about himself as the shepherd sent from the Father. Now, when you look at John 10, what you have is Christ's view of himself. Here the Lord Jesus, as it were, tears away the veil and he lets you look right into his heart. He lets you look deep within his soul. He lets you be a party to the thoughts that he had about his own person and about his own mission. A little earlier in his ministry, he had given a similar type of statement about himself. And the Jews had reacted incredulously, even violently. And in John 8:53, they expressed all that by saying, "Whom makest thou thyself?" Who are you making yourself out to be? What are you saying about yourself? That's a question that has perplexed scholars for many years. Many have tried to philosophize on the person of Christ, and they have entertained all sorts of questions about what they call his self-awareness, his self-consciousness as the Messiah, what he saw, when he saw it. I have to wonder at the audacity and the arrogance of pipsqueak men trying to understand the psychology of God manifested in the flesh. Liberals particularly love to portray Christ as an unassuming Galilean teacher who made no claims to deity. This is a statement that liberals make again and again and again. They make it in their books, you'll hear it in their television documentaries. It's as if the Lord Jesus never made any claim to being God. He was a simple teacher who came like a Jewish rabbi. Oh, he was better than the rest of them, but he came as a Jewish rabbi to teach a better standard of love and life and morality. And then came his disciples, and especially that most malignant of all disciples, the Apostle Paul, and they built this simple Galilean teacher up into a God in the flesh. They took the simplicity of the stories of Jesus and they built them up into a system of theology. Hence you have what they call the quest for the historical Jesus, trying to strip away the myth and the theology imposed upon the story by Peter and Paul and the rest of the apostles, to get underneath the myth, strip it away until we get to the historical Jesus. This is blasphemy. Utter, lying, satanic blasphemy. And that it should be entertained within the Christian church is a shame, but it's a shame that will become explicable when I get in a few moments to the beginning of John chapter 10. You see, there's no difficulty in getting to the historical Jesus. He is the Jesus of the Gospels. He's the Jesus that the apostles preached. He's the Jesus of the epistles. And here in John's Gospel, which by the way is the reason why so many apostates deny the very historicity of John's Gospel. Used to be they tried to deny that John himself ever wrote it. Having been routed from that ground, they persist in attacking this as unhistorical. Why? Because they cannot come to terms with the truth that's put therein. Again, those who will not see are the blindest of the blind.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.